is Not Sam Wrestling.
Introducing your host from New York, here is Sam Roberts.
So, not the first time on the podcast, but for the first time in the Not Sam studio, it's a bonus show. It's Not Sam Wrestling, and it's Bill McKenna from Mattel. The one and only, the famous social media's own Bill McKenna from hashtag MakeBillSweat. What's going on, man? Welcome.
Thank you very much for having me. It's great to be back here again. Here for the first time, actually, but back on the show again. I'm happy to be here.
Well, obviously, I'm glad that you're here. And I mean, I'm especially glad because I think if people are watching this video right now, which will be up on YouTube and stuff, if you're just listening to the audio, there's a big distraction because right in the center of a table is a bunch of stuff that I certainly have never seen before. And I think most people have never seen before.
Probably as the taping, you're probably one of the, maybe the first person outside of Mattel to see this. This was brought in for to sort of world premiere at Ringside Fest, but we're getting a sneak preview of it now here. We have Eric Young, you know, from Sanity. This is his first ever Mattel figure, and it's in full Elite.
Look at the boots. Look at those boots. Look at that. So we're looking at Elite 65 right now in front of us, and Eric Young is the first figure that we're looking at. Eric Young is like amazing because everything is new on it. All the molds and everything. The vest with the hood up.
There's a lot new on him. Yes,
he's got. Are the knee pads like?
No, the knee pads are existing, but just when you. Paint them in different colors and deck them in different colors, it kind of makes it look like a new part.
I guess, and you normally don't have multicolored painted knee pads like that. And the boots, I mean, if you could see...
The boots are definitely a new part.
Yeah, if you can see the front of these boots, they're just like his are, in the sense that, like, they're tied only halfway up, and the tongue is coming down and everything. They look amazing. He's got the scarf covering his face. Yeah. And I'm assuming that's two parts, right? Like, the scarf is one part.
If I can just remove him from camera a little bit, I will remove the entrance accessories to show... the full figure.
Yeah. Now, do you get excited about stuff like that when it comes time to finally... Because you obviously have been sitting on this stuff for a long time. We saw, like, versions of them at Comic-Con. We saw, like, renditions, right? Like, mm-hmm. the images. But for people to finally be able to see these figures...
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, it's... To get the reaction... Because how long have you kind of felt like, okay, I'm ready, the figures are ready to be seen?
These ones actually, it's usually longer before we display something like this. Like, I just got first set samples from the factory on these just a couple weeks ago, and already made the comments, and, you know, they were able, like, these are actually, like, the second versions of a lot of these figures, just because the first ones came back and they really weren't ready to show. So I asked, like, hey, we have a show coming up in New York. Is it possible to get updated, you know, with the changes I needed on these quickly? And they moved so fast to get these to them. I mean...
That's amazing, because you used to hear stories from, like, figure companies and stuff that, like, you know, I mean, you remember, like, when Hasbro was doing it when we were kids, that, you know, you'd have figures constantly of guys that hadn't been in the company for 6 months just because it took so long to do the simplest things.
Yeah, I have no idea how a toy company would have operated before email, especially with all the production, you know, facilities overseas. Like, I don't know how, like, was it through, like, actual, like, going to, like, a courier, like a federal, you know, a FedEx courier, or Western Union Telegram. Like, I can't wrap my head around how this stuff was done back in the day. Like, typing out on a typewriter and sending over, you know, paper notes and just waiting for them to get on a plane and then get the reply back. Like, how many weeks later? It's like,
are there moments of panic ever, like when you get a sample back and you're like, this is so far away from what I thought this was going to be?
The most panicked I've gotten recently that I can remember is, I think, the recent Elite Kevin Owens. The first head I got on that was, it was a brand new sculpt and a brand new deco. And when I got it back, I'm like, this looks nothing like Kevin Owens.
Was it just the likeness wasn't right?
The likeness was off, and then they didn't deco the new, because it was like when he was doing, like, last year when he kind of shaved, shaved the beard closer and shaved the hair closer,
yeah, like
the new Face of America run,
right.
Which unfortunately didn't last very long enough for the figure, so it's probably like a one and done for that head.
Uh-huh.
But when I first got that, I'm like, the deco on the hair was way off, the beard was way off, and the face was bad. It just didn't look anything like him. And so I was like, gosh, I was in a panic mode, because I'm like, I spent thousands, you know, the company's money to tool his head, and it's like, this looks nothing like him. So I said,
so you
that.
Can't present that. You can't be like, here's what
I would never have put that figure, you know, in like a forum like this, like a Ringside Fest or anywhere. Just
right.
Because I know that people will slaughter it, and rightly so.
Because you can't even write like this is not the final product, because it's like still.
Yeah.
Like you can't even show that off, because that'll be the memory that sticks in people's
exactly.
heads.
Exactly. And then you'll get the, I don't know, like Owens Gate or something. We'll start
like Dude Gate. Yeah. So you can see, I mean, Eric Young there, the likeness is pretty incredible. The hair, like all the texture on the hair and everything. He's got his crazy blue eyes and the tattoo that I think you previewed on your Twitter and everything. Do you, like, the fact that Sanity hasn't gotten a ton of TV time since coming to SmackDown, does that worry you when you've got a figure like this ready to get made? Or are you looking at this like, this figure is so good and people like the character enough that it doesn't matter?
I think for a lot of debut characters, it there's more of a demand for them.
Yeah.
The people that just want to, like, I want one of everyone on the roster.
Right. I mean, so, that's what I do. I end up getting multiples, but I make sure that there's one of everyone on the roster.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It gets trickier when you're in a situation where it's someone we've done before, and like the variation between the last figure and this one is maybe not as great, and then that character's TV time sort of tails off or trickles off, and then it's like, I don't know, this is... Maybe the timing on this one maybe was could be better. But
yeah. Now, Elite 65 is going to be out when?
Early next year. I think like 63 is the first official wave of 2019. And I know that, you know, some online retailers are getting it early and already selling it. I think 64 is actually shipping as well. So
right.
This is the next one in the sequence.
And this is where instead of having the Rob Schamberger artwork in the background, we've got hands with
everybody. Yeah, we decided to extra hands. Yeah, cause, I mean, I love the Rob Schamberger artwork. I mean, the guy's, I mean, you know,
he's amazing.
But I think with the stands, what bothered me was like, in order to use the stand properly, you're actually putting the figure right in front of the artwork.
Oh, so you have to block it anyway,
and you're blocking it.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
you're really
yeah.
not getting full credit for it.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, we always try to keep it fresh too. So when and you know we also keep track of like what other companies you know are doing well that people are responding to and so, you know extra poseable hands like when you see like a Spider-Man figure and he has you know he can do like not just you know like fighting fists but he can also do like the web spinning
right well like, yeah I mean and let's move on to Nia Jax on that then because Nia you did something and you don't mind that I
no not at all
handle your goods
no not at all
Nia you did something interesting because. Much like the Pennywise that I have up there, a lot like what NECA and collector-friendly lines are doing a lot of, with Nia, you packed multiple heads.
Yes.
Is she going to get extra hands and extra heads?
The female figures in 2019 will not have the extra hands just because tooling budget won't allow it right now, just because we have to make so many new hands that our usual Elite tooling budget is a little... I don't come as close to maybe reaching, you know, the budget on certain years. But this year, because we had to sculpt so many different hands, I wanted to make sure I had, you know, money in the budget.
Right. Yeah, because so many of these guys have hands that are one and done. Like, and we'll get through, we'll talk about
although
some of
it
them.
It is funny. There are stuff I thought would be one and done. Like, I thought, like, the Cena, you know, like the you can't see me hand
yeah.
would be a one and done. But I've been able to, like, use it in, like, correctly for like doing like the Finn Balor when he comes out and does the
it's the same hand I guess
and the we did the Scott Hall and we put
him going
yeah
so do you sometimes go like wait what hands do we have like what could I do creatively with some of these things
yeah and there's situations there was one where just I think it was actually yesterday where I was like gosh I need new hands for this and looking back it's like no this hand will work just as well
right
and it's existing
right
so. And it's just a matter of, like, posing it differently on the hand. It's like, instead of posing it up, you pose it to the side.
Mm-hmm.
It has a totally different meaning for that character as opposed to the one it was originally sculpted for.
Right. Like, I would imagine that people wouldn't necessarily think, you know, you can't see me is what Scott Hall would do. But when you go like this,
yeah.
you're like, oh, that's the entrance.
And then I think that was actually maybe the first time we showed that figure was on the Scott Hall with the hands. And people thought, you know, we sculpted it for the Scott Hall, and it's right. Like, no, we sculpted it for Cena. If it works, use it.
And it's good because, like, historically, like, there'd be figure companies that would reuse parts. Hasbro did it. Jax did it. Like, everybody's done it where it's like, that doesn't work at all. Like, I don't know why you even bothered doing that. Like, you know, you would see sometimes on these Hasbro figures that obviously I love, you know, mm-hmm. those are the ones because I'm so nostalgic for them,
yeah.
that they're my pride and joy and everything. But, you know, like on, like the Ric Flair figure, you could plainly see that they're just painting flesh over what was supposed to be tights, and that's it. They haven't actually made a new anything.
Yeah, I mean, I think the one I remember most on that one was the Rick Steiner had a demolition.
And you could see the studs.
Torso, and you can, if you rub your finger on his ass, you can feel the demolition yeah. studs.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't know, I don't remember that on Rick Steiner.
But. Why would he have that? But then Jax would do, like, weird stuff. Like, Jax would do, they'd have, like, a Hardcore Holly figure, and the first run of them would have that, like, Owen Hart lower torso with the bike shorts.
Mm-hmm.
But then they'd replace it so that it would just have the Owen Hart pelvis, and then they just put Sid legs on it and paint bike shorts. And it's like, why would you do? What good would come of that?
You know, now that I'm sort of like on the inside, like when I hear about stuff like that, I sort of try to figure out like, okay, what do I think happened in that situation
yeah.
to cause that? And like, there's certain situations, like I know when Star Wars was relaunched, like there was like this whole thing about like saber tray length and like short saber, long tray, and long tray, short saber. And it's like how is this stuff like this happening now that you're not a sort of had some exposure to it? It's like,
so how do you suppose that would happen where it would be like, we're just going to replace legs with worse legs halfway through the line?
It might be like a running change or something, or the mold maybe was there was a request to the factory to use a certain mold.
And they just didn't.
And they didn't, or they wanted to use a mold and wires got crossed and they ran like the mold that was like one number off, and they just painted it. So it's like,
and then you just get a ton of them, and you're like, well, I mean, I'm not going to redo all of these.
Yeah,
there's nothing I can do here.
Like, you can ask for running change, and it's like depends on how. Like I've asked for running changes on stuff,
uh-huh.
and it's like you'll get like, you know, like let's just say your mind is like 20,000. It's like they've made like 19,000 of them, and it's like, okay, we'll do the running change for less 1,000. It's like, well, great, but that's.
Well, what is one, like something that you've had a running change where it's only been the last however many, or like a really small number of figures actually had to change?
The one that's most obvious to me is the Defining Moment Sting,
mm-hmm.
the boots, the like the first, you know, it's a majority percent. I don't know exactly how much it is, but had the lace boots.
Yeah.
And then we did correct that to, you know, like the slab-sided boots. But there's so little out there. I mean, I only found a sample for myself at our Mattel company store.
Really?
Yeah.
Man, that makes me want to go look at my Sting right now yeah. and see which version that I have.
It's probably the laces, and that's one where that one's on me. I should yeah. just use different boots.
I guess I didn't even know that existed. Well, we'll go back to Nia, because mm-hmm. we were talking about that. So is this like you go, well, Nia changes her hair so often, how are we going to get a figure that like, because we want to do an elite Nia.
Yeah.
But you're not going to get to do three of them, right?
Right. And this was before, like, if she would have won the women's title, you know, in the time frame where we were developing the figure, this figure was, like, scheduled right before WrestleMania. So her WrestleMania gear was not, you know, something we could reproduce. I thought her WrestleMania gear was quite great. And maybe if we would have scheduled her figure, you know, 2 or 3 months later, we would have done that.
But yeah.
It's like, what can we do an elite Nia that's actually worth above and beyond, you know, what we've already done with basic Nia, which I think our basic Nias have been really, really good.
Yeah, me too.
So, you know, obviously a dedicated torso sculpt, you know, everything on there is new.
Yeah, and look at the molding on it too.
Yeah.
I just kind of noticed that like all of this, like all this detailing that you really don't have to do, but there's a ton of stuff that's not just painted on. It's actually
detailed. And actually sculpting that detail actually does make it harder to deco.
Mm-hmm.
So that also, you know, justifies having that as an elite version as opposed to a basic. And then just also, you know, every time there was a stage where like every day, I mean, every time she would show up on TV, she would have a different hairdo.
Right.
You know, she had like the original hairdo, which is this sculpt. And then she had like sort of like the Veronica Lake style, which is the second.
Yeah.
And then when she had the storyline romance with Enzo, which ended rather abruptly, she had like the long braids, and it just looks so different. It's like, I think we should just do that.
Yeah,
you know. And I think, you know, when we talked to other people in the line, like, yeah, that's a good idea. And it's just trying to come up with something that I think people would, if you already have a Nia, like, what's gonna cause you to want to buy another one.
Right. No, that makes sense. Now, have you talked to her about this at all? Do you know what her take on it? Because I feel like, you know, if I'm one of these people that has a figure with a ton of different heads, I'm like, that's awesome.
Yeah.
You know?
I don't know. I don't think
but who
so.
Knows? Some people don't even care about figures. It's a weird thing to me. It's a foreign concept to me, but...
Yeah, there's certain people that care a lot, and then there's certain people that I think... A lot of the older talent, I think, you know, maybe not be as... I find that, like, but, like, people that are brand new...
Because they didn't grow up with it, right? Yeah. Like, all these... Everybody here grew up with figures, right? Mm-hmm. So the idea of having a figure would be something. I think somebody older that didn't necessarily grow up with wrestling figures or whatever is not sitting there going like, oh, one day I'm going to be this guy, because they just, it wasn't part of their childhood. It's not something they're nostalgic for, right?
Whereas I think, like, the younger talent, I think there's, like, three milestones to the WWE. Is like, one, making the main roster.
Mm-hmm.
Two, three months around the main roster. Making the video game.
Right.
Making WrestleMania and getting your figure.
Yeah, that makes sense. This is... Well, actually, let's move to Roman. Mm-hmm. Roman, of course. And Roman's another guy who... You've done a ton of Romans.
Yes.
I guess it's got to be difficult to figure out, okay, what's going to make this Roman different. This is one. I see this here. This is one where you've taken advantage of the extra hands. And this is this also one that you would think would be one and done? But isn't?
No, but that was actually sculpted for the Samoa Joe figure.
Right, right.
But, you know, when you see images of a lot of the Samoan wrestlers, they're doing, like, the Hawaiian...
Shaka Bra?
Yeah, the Shaka Bra hand signal. So, and when you put it on the figure, it does look, you know, I'll change out the left hand.
Yeah, go for it. Yeah, it does look... And that's... That Roman face looks a lot like Roman. You have to be happy with how far... So the new technology, forever, it was that sort of same real scan technology that they'd been using, right?
Mm-hmm.
And now, what exactly is the new facial technology that's gotten it to the point where these are like mini 3D photographs?
Well, we still use the laser scanning for the faces.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, we've improved our... We're using digital inkjet printing on the faces instead of tampo and mask painting.
So it's coming from a printer.
Yeah, it's actually they load like 30 heads in a tray in a printer, and they're all aligned, you know, exactly the same, and then it goes back and forth, and it and you get 30 identical faces, and you can add for the cost of and actually saves money too. So it's like it's less expensive.
Mm-hmm.
And it's better. Like, this is like one of the biggest wins we've come across in a while. So
like the faces look better and it's less expensive.
Yeah,
that's kind of crazy.
It doesn't always work out that way.
Is there anything else new about this Roman? Is there anything? This title, is that more detailed or am I losing
We've used that Intercontinental title before in the past. So I think most of the new on him is the interchangeable hands.
Yeah.
New artwork on the chest logo.
That's what I thought. Yeah, I thought that was new.
Yeah, I think it's...
And like, is that the first time for that face, or have you used that face before?
We might have used that head before, but it would be the first time we've used that deco on the face. It's an improved deco on the face.
Gotcha. Okay, so that's Roman.
Mm-hmm.
I've also noticed, and I guess... Well, we can go right to Rusev.
Sure.
And this is pretty perfect for both of those guys to be in the same set, but... Rusev, at what point did you realize we need like a really, really good Rusev figure? Because I would imagine, right, when there's a wrestler who's like Rusev that all of a sudden gets this tidal wave of fan support.
Yeah.
Like that would cue you to be like, we have to do something where he has an awesome figure because now everybody loves this guy, right?
Yeah. I think we started working on the Rusev for a while before this wave, for an earlier wave.
And it looks if he had white hair, he would look a little like old Orson Welles.
A little bit.
Yeah. Kind of
like we're like a Jack Obi-Wan Kenobi.
That's right.
And for some reason, he got pushed back a few waves, but it actually helped us out because the original accessories would not have included the Rusev Day shirt. It would have been a different accessory.
Really?
So once he that shirt, you know, came out and you sort of took off like mad, it's like, well, we basically cut everything but the key.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think the key is fun and it's new and it's, you know, it's really something you're only ever going to get with this figure.
Yeah, totally. And, now, what changed that you guys went back to doing fabric shirts and fabric, like, stuff that we'll see here and talk about? Because I far prefer the fabric stuff.
It's not so much a change. It's more just, like, whenever we can afford to use it.
I see.
You know, we'd like to use it. And I don't like to use it if it's a situation where if I do it in soft good, we're going to lose a lot of surface detail. So if someone has a lot of surface detail on an entrance gear,
that makes sense.
There are instances where I would rather do it as a molded jacket,
like one of the big coats.
Yeah,
with
like Miz is a good example.
Right.
It's like he comes out with his jackets have a lot of detail and a lot of, you know, change of plane. You know, like the, you know, like scalloping and stuff. It's like if we did it as a soft good, it would look like. So I would rather tool that. It does kind of stick the arms in place, you know. It's a trade off, but for me, I'd rather get the outfit as accurate as possible. But when it is a situation where you can do an as accurate as possible outfit in soft goods, I always try to do so. You know, if the budget allows.
Yeah, that makes sense. And for Rusev, you know, you got your Happy Rusev Day shirt. Like
yeah.
You just got to get the logo on there, and you're good to go.
And I think that's a situation where, even if you have previous Elite Rusevs. You know, the Rusev Day, you know, it has been such a prominent feature of the programming that, like, you know, you're going to want to get the Rusev Day version of Rusev.
Right. Now, you had to be sitting there watching the current product going, like, I really hope Aiden English and Rusev maintain, either whether they're working against each other or as partners, like, I just hope that they keep working together because it's really the best way that adding Aiden English to this line makes the most sense. So I guess is Aiden English the Chase figure?
That is the Chase version, and then this is the standard version.
Oh, I see. The standard version is the one in the coat.
Yeah, well, both are going to have coats.
Okay.
I just, for the display purposes, I left the coat off. They don't have the full accessories just because the Aiden comes with a bunch of stuff. I don't want to, like, overload.
What else does he come with?
The Aiden English will come with the jacket, the sunglasses, the scarf, which has a different deco for each figure,
yeah,
depending on regular Chase. The microphone is the square one, and it will be changed to the triangle.
Oh, that's great. Yeah. Oh, so it's going to be a unique microphone for him.
Well, it's the triangle. They sent the wrong microphone.
Okay, sure.
But I'm still going to show it, because it's such a minor thing.
Right.
Like, if there was major issues with the figure, I wouldn't show it. But that's like that one I'm not concerned, because we are going to change it. And
yeah.
And then the hands, and he's got, like, the flourish hand.
So that's a new hand that he's got.
That is a new hand sculpt.
Right. And that's one I'd love to see you try to figure out where Aiden's hand could be used possibly again.
I know for sure that right hand is being used elsewhere.
You can't tell me where, though.
Not just yet.
Oh, man. If anybody's got any guesses, feel free to leave it in the comments or tweet it out or whatever, because I have no clue. So the difference is pretty much just what's on the tights?
Yeah, the difference is what's on the tights. The standard will be the jet black, and then the Chase will have the artwork on the side.
And the Chase figure is happening for every Elite series for the next year, at least?
For at least this year, yes.
Right. So we've got Shelton Benjamin's the first one,
mm-hmm,
with the gold standard.
Yes.
And that's probably, like, the most different.
Yeah.
Right? And then you got Curt Hawkins in 64. One is in blue and one is in black.
Yes.
And then Aiden is in 65.
Yes.
I see. Do we know who the Chase one is going to be in 66?
I think so, but I do, actually.
But you're not counting. You can't tell me, though.
I'll probably, you know, next time we do reveals, it'll probably be
excellent.
Display, so.
Excellent. Okay, so there's Aiden English. And then this is the first series that you're doing in Elite that is going to have the store exclusive, right?
This is actually the third. This is the first one was the Bob Backlund for Walmart.
And that was before.
That was in 63.
Oh, so that's coming out, like, very, very soon.
It should be, yeah. It should be hitting stores, you know, either. It's the first wave being shipped to Walmart in 2019.
Wow, okay.
So
okay,
Backlund is the exclusive.
I didn't realize that was starting so quickly.
Yeah, and then Pete Dunne for Target is the next one.
You had to be so excited to do the Pete Dunne figure.
That one came out pretty well. Yeah. He's got a very prominent sneer. You don't see that a lot on figures, and it's cool to capture that on figures.
And is Pete Dunne come with the UK Championship? Or no, just
he comes with the vest. Like at the time we were developing the figure, he just won it, and right. I had no idea how long he would hold it. And now he's like the longest, you know, WWE title holder in with the company. So it's like, well,
if you want it though, you got to try to find that Tyler Bate figure.
Yeah, I think there's some of those still around.
Yeah.
Somewhere.
Yeah.
but again, it's one of those. It's an existing tool.
Yeah.
So if by chance someone else wins the title in the near future. Obviously, the chance for that person to make it into line with the title, you know, goes way, way up.
But in this set, there'll be an exclusive Sensational Sherry, which people have been asking for a long time. And this is exclusive to which store?
This is exclusive to Walmart.
Okay, so in this line, Sherry will be shipped with them, but only at Walmart's. And the dress is completely fabric, which, by the way, I mean, I would imagine that working at Mattel, when you have figures with fabric clothes, that really helps. Because, I mean, Mattel has been making fabric clothes on figures for forever. Like, they're the
We have some resources that other companies don't have access to, which is very helpful, I'm not going to lie.
Yeah. Now, she has wrestling gear on under. This Sherry is obviously Queen Sherry that would be with the Macho King.
Yes.
And she has, you can... I'll pass that to you if you want.
Yeah, I'll just take it off camera. And if you remove the crown and the dress...
Yeah.
It is a full wrestling attire version.
That's pretty amazing.
I think it's cool.
Yeah.
This is an idea from actually Steve, our marketing wizard, to
put her in wrestling gear?
To have one where you can take off the gear and she's got wrestling. So you can sort of, because I, like my own personal taste would run toward the manager version of Sherry with the gown.
Well, I think that's where she's, I mean, I guess it depends on when you were watching, like how old you are. But for me too, I think, as much as you appreciate Sherry as a wrestler, the most iconic version of Sherry, for me anyway, is whether it's Shawn Michaels, Macho King, even with Ted DiBiase, is the manager version of Sherry. But, I mean, this is the perfect compromise.
This is absolutely ideal. Both. And it's very distinct, because I know in the past, like, the Jax Sherry figures are some of their best work. I mean, they're really, really nice figures. So I didn't want to do, like, just step on ground. They've done be fast. I want to get, you know, something that even if you have all those and you love those figures like you should, this is you're gonna want and need this one as well.
Because I would imagine that if you're gonna do a Sherry as a designer, because you're the head designer for the Elite line for Mattel, right?
Yes.
That's your. I would imagine that what you would really want to do is that SummerSlam 92 outfit. Jax did it.
Yeah.
But that to me is like, you know, one of the perfect Sherry figures.
Like, if I was designing a Sherry figure just for myself, no one else, it would probably be the manager when she was with Macho Man at WrestleMania 7, just sort of complete that set. But that figure really doesn't lend itself to much besides, you know, interacting with those two Defining Moments figures, which at this point have been years and years off the market. So this doesn't make, that doesn't, it makes sense to me.
Mm-hmm.
But we're trying to sell to more people than me. So this something like this, I think, reaches, you know, you can put this figure with those two other figures, and you still get the gist of what it's a Sensational Queen Sherry.
Totally. Absolutely. Absolutely. And this last one that you brought is not part of this series.
Oh, it is part of the series, yeah.
Oh, she is?
Yeah, she is.
Oh, my God. Already?
Yes.
I can't believe this one. This is amazing. I thought we were just kind of saving it for last as a preview, but this is part of Elite 65.
This is Elite 65. This is the Ronda Rousey figure, first Elite figure. As you can tell, we are breaking our ass to get Ronda Rousey into the line as soon as possible and in as many ways as possible. So the first Ronda Rousey figure we were able to get into the line was based off of the Royal Rumble appearance, and then this is based off 1 month later at the Elimination Chamber.
Right.
Where she officially signed her contract, and it's got everything you need to recreate that moment. It's got a figure, a brand new Elite figure, with the first time with the jacket.
And I don't know, I haven't gotten to see the basic figure in my hand,
mm-hmm.
but like when I picked this up today, because this is the first time I've seen a WWE Ronda Rousey figure.
Yes.
When I picked this up today, like, it's jarring. You would think that you guys were rushing him out.
Mm-hmm.
So that eventually we're going to get this great Ronda Rousey, but for now, we get what we get because we're trying to do it. But this thing is like, it's jarring how good it is. The likeness is on point completely. Like, the detailing on the jacket, Like, it's a little big in the sleeves, the same way hers was, because it was Piper's jacket. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just, and there's the detailing all on the back and everything. It's awesome. And you didn't even, like, you could have theoretically done, like, the, you know, the Stephanie McMahon pants with the high heel or whatever, but this is all new, right?
It's actually reuse. I think it actually, it might also, it might be the same, there's some sharing with the Carmella again.
Oh, yeah, up here in the baggy, yeah.
But I think the hips are replaced with a different hips. The torso might be shared with the basic. But the head is actually all new. It's a different head from the basic.
Oh, it is?
Yeah, because the first head was done without the scan data. And then we made a special trip out to scan her to get an even better head. And this is the first one, you know.
Yeah. So, obviously, the table's breakable. It comes with the tablecloth and everything that you can put over. And I'm going to try to make it so that the camera can see. The contract that it comes with, which is amazing, actually says Ronda Rousey on it.
Yeah, it's. I try to, using screen caps and stuff, try to get as close as possible to the actual contract that was at the Elimination Chamber, and I think I got pretty close.
So is the idea going to be, are you guys kind of working as you go with Ronda, meaning like, we saw her at the Rumble, so we're going to make a basic figure right away. Then this figure is from Elimination Chamber, so it's like that night, we're going to start working on this. Once WrestleMania hit, that night, are you like, okay, this is her ring gear.
Yeah, once she comes out with that, it's like, well, obviously, we're going to work on that as well, too.
So how far are we from a ring gear, Ronda, do you think? Like what time? Well, around when next year would you imagine?
I can't talk yet on that.
Do you figure it'll be an Elite?
Maybe.
Yeah, I would figure it would be an Elite. I mean, Ronda's one of those athletes that even if you need to be careful how many the male to female ratio in the Elite line, like Ronda's gonna sell.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Like she's such a star as it is. Well, man, I mean, you have to be so excited about this line. The your Elite lines have just been completely amazing lately.
I'm very happy with that. I think the level of action figures, especially at like a $20 price point right now, it's staggering. Like how much good stuff there is. Like even stuff like the Power Rangers figures I saw. You know, and I don't even collect Power Rangers, but I saw these. Like, gosh, like what a great time to be a Power Rangers fan.
Yeah,
this stuff is so great. I mean, I might myself collect Marvel Legends as well as these, and it's like, you know, it's great because, like, you know, like the it's a kind of like a trite saying, but like the rising tides raises all boats. It's like, mm-hmm. I think we're in that era now where it's like, you know, like, wow, look what that company's doing. Like, it's so great. Like, why aren't we doing that? Well, let's just do it.
Right.
And then as a result, you're getting.
And that's where you've got, like, the different hands, the different heads, like the little detail in the Ronda contract, like this little stuff that you don't have to do, but you know, just brings it to a whole another level.
And I know that other companies are looking at our line, at the Elite line, and going like, "Wow, that's I can't believe you're able to do that." You know what? You know, and then that influences them to improve theirs. So it's nice. It's nice to be sort of have some sort of involvement in, you know, that sort of, it's almost like a mutual admiration society.
Totally. Now, while we're talking about Elites, you've been making a lot of news in the wrestling figure world lately due to the Major Brothers and their eBay collection podcast. You know, Dudegate is a thing. And I have to tell you, you guys come out. I wish I had the Dude Love figure here. I don't have it yet. I think I'm going to get it this weekend. But you can Google it yourself. You can find it.
It's a fantastic figure.
It is a fantastic figure. And the first time I saw it, I think it was probably at Ringside Fest last year. Was when you first... Did you display it? I thought you displayed it last year.
It might have been last year.
Yeah. That was the first time the public could see it.
Yeah, and then it actually changed.
It was supposed to be in a different line.
It was supposed to be and then it changed again.
Right.
I should probably actually tell the Dude Love story here because I know that...
Are you ready to?
I think so.
Wait, it's out now. You said once it finally got out.
Yeah, it is out. So it was originally planned for a Hall of Fame series through Target.
And for those that don't know, I mean, I would assume most people that are still watching and listening would know, but you guys did Corporate Mankind, you did Original Mankind, you did Cactus Jack, with the flannel, and there was never a Dude Love.
Yeah.
And it was like, well, why would that be the one? You've had every incarnation of this guy.
I think
you
maybe
did a, just, you did a general manager Mick Foley.
Yeah,
right?
I think just tangentially the way like Mick Foley himself is sort of like considered like Dude Love, maybe like the least of all his personas. It's like maybe, you know, in terms of like trying to gauge interest.
Uh-huh.
Like obviously there's going to be a lot of demand for Mankind and then
right.
both versions, both the debut and the, you know, like the corporate, and then Cactus Jack. I've always loved Cactus Jack.
Of course, so
like,
you have to.
You know, even this might, you know, if it was between Dude Love and Cactus Jack, I think most people are going to want the Cactus Jack.
So he's supposed to come out, how long ago? He's supposed to come out in a Hall of Fame
Gosh,
series.
Yeah, that might have been maybe late 2015 or early 2016.
So we're talking almost 3 years ago.
Yeah.
About 3 years ago, we'll say.
And then what happened was the Target Hall of Fame, the first series was drastically underordered and sold out almost instantly.
Mm-hmm.
And we were developing the second series. Second series came.
Who was in the first series, just to remind people?
I think that was Sergeant Slaughter and Trish Stratus.
Right, I remember.
And Yokozuna.
Yokozuna in the white?
Yeah, but I don't know if he was first or second. I think the first one was actually all repaints because it was like, we want these and we want these like immediately. So it was like,
gotcha.
There's no time to tool. So I think it was all actually all four. It was a Warrior, it was a Trish Stratus, it was Sergeant Slaughter, and... Gosh, I'm blanking on it.
But it was, people remember.
Yeah, it was. But it was four, like, with no tooling. And then this, we had time to tool for the second wave. And that was Tito Santana.
Right. Piper.
Was Piper? No, Piper wasn't in that one.
Was that the Piper was in the third?
Yeah, it gets very mixed up, as I'll explain to you. It was Yokozuna.
Right.
Tito Santana, Hulk Hogan, and Eddie Guerrero.
Yes, okay, right.
And that sold out immediately, so...
Except for Tito.
Well, no, he sold out immediately. And I'll tell you what happened. And then what happened was they wanted more product. And so we developed another wave using no tooling to fulfill their orders. But the demand was so strong that before that wave could even be sort of delivered to them,
mm-hmm.
reorders were generated for, you know, the second series.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, and then so the like he would have been in the wave after that one to Dude Love, you know. So,
after Tito,
yeah.
Okay.
But then this sort of stopgap wave of repaints got sort of inserted in there as like, well, we just need to make sure that Target has product.
So and who were those repaints?
I think well that becomes a later part in the story.
Okay, go ahead.
So what happened was Target placed the orders and they generated, but because the repaint wave wasn't ready, they went to rerun the second wave, but the second wave had Hulk Hogan in there, and at this point Hulk Hogan was on, you know, the
oh,
vanish
right.
list,
and that was like an instantaneous thing where immediately everything has to change.
So it and then so what happened was not only did they rerun the second wave with, you know, how many extra Tito Santanas,
ah.
but all the orders that would have gone to the Hogan figure went to, on top of that, also got generated as a Santana figure.
Oh my gosh. So he not only did you replace all the Titos, but every Hogan in that line was also a Tito.
Yes.
And was that because this is our only Tito, I think that this would be the figure to replace him, or was it just we need to do something quick?
I think it was just because that number was blocked, the computer automatically went to the next one down in the system.
I see.
And it just happened to be Tito.
Wow.
Which is like the one you probably, I mean, no offense to Tito. I mean, I love Tito Santana. That's why I was so happy we were able to get that figure in the wave.
And it's a great figure with the T-shirt and everything.
It's a phenomenal figure. I mean, yeah. I love that figure. But it's like now it's like almost like a cautionary tale of like what happens if you overproduce a certain figure because, you know, so that wave went in instead of the repaint wave and it get clogged, you know. It basically put the brakes on the entire Hall of Fame segment at Target for almost like a year. So like that repaint wave never came out. And then the wave we were developing after that never came out. And then Dude Love was in that wave.
That was after the repaint wave.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and then...
And was the plan like, okay, this isn't canceled necessarily, but it's just on a long hiatus, so we're just leaving Dude Love kind of in a category?
In between that and then when he was scheduled again, we lost the rights to Foley. Like his
There was sort of like a
dip where he wasn't under a deal. And so even if we wanted to place him back in the line, which we did, we couldn't.
Right.
So then we got another opportunity to, I think it was for the Walmart waves that were coming out this year. And then I think he was in the, I think he might have been in the third wave of that.
In the Walmart wave.
Yeah.
Yeah. Was that the Then Now Forevers? Or was that the Build-A-Figures?
The Then Now Forevers.
Right.
With the one that ultimately came out recently with the, I believe it's the Build-A-Shawn Michaels.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
He would have been scheduled for that one.
Uh-huh.
But then there was a situation where that wave also got canceled.
Uh-huh.
And then at that point, I was just like, I'm done with this. I'm putting this figure in just a standard, you know,
regular. Elite line.
Because I was keeping him sort of like as like a strong, you know, character from the past. Because when you do like a mix with characters just from the past, you want to have, you know, some bigger names in it that people recognize.
Sure.
So you can also do someone like...
You're just staring at this dude Love figure for 3 years, going like, you're the bane of my existence. You're cursed.
Yeah. And so when we'd show it, and it was like, it was ready to go. And then, you know, something happens and like it doesn't go. And then it goes again.
Mm-hmm.
And then some of like the, I think the final, there was, the repaint wave for that Hall of Fame actually came out when, as like the final wave of 2017 for Hall of Fame, even though it was supposed to be like the an interim wave in 2016.
Right.
Like that
right.
was Jake the Snake and Edge and
Yeah, I remember the wave. Yeah, I know.
I think
exactly
it was like a hodgepodge.
Yes.
And then like the wave we developed, you know, that would have come after the repaint wave was like the Shawn Michaels, then he was moved eventually to GameStop.
The Rocker Sean.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ricky Steamboat. He was moved to a different...
The Walmart series.
Yeah, he was moved to Walmart. And then there was some... Then there was the Target Hall of Fame 2-packs. And then like a second wave of that was canceled. And then... But we moved those figures to Walmart and put them out, you know, with like the...
What an amazing thing it is to try to juggle all of this stuff happening all the time. And it's interesting because like, you know, when we were growing up, it would be... There was like one line of figures every... 4 months, maybe even more. And now it's like everybody wants more stuff, new stuff so quickly that you're just having to figure out lines. And then they actually, we got to cancel that one. Okay, we got to push this one over here. Okay, we got to go that one. Like the juggling's insane.
Yeah, it's, I think in the past, like with Star Wars figures or especially G.I. Joe, you get like 3 waves a year, but the waves would have like 20 figures in it.
Right, right.
So one day you just go into Toys R Us, you know, rest in peace, and just see like, you know, just like 20 new Star Wars figures. It's like, where did all these Star? Oh my! It's like, and that was at the time. It's like you didn't know it was coming out,
right?
So it's like, man, I I'm gonna make a confession here. I loved the Ewoks when I was a kid.
Oh my god, that's bad.
It's good. and I was always like, man, why don't they make all the Ewoks? Like, why don't they make that gray striped Ewok? And why don't they make, you know, like the Ewok that steals a speeder bike? So every time I'd see new Ewok announcements, like I was like really, you know, like yes,
right. Yeah, I mean, I remember when the first time that I wasn't surprised in the store was like Jax Superstar Series 1, because a mailer came out from Figures Inc. and they were like, these are coming in August. And it was like, oh my God, these aren't Hasbro's, these are blah, blah, blah. And by Series 3, Jax Superstar Series 3, that's the first time that I found Ringside Collectibles. Way back then when it was like a members AOL site and I didn't realize John was the same age as me and the whole thing, but like he had all the prototypes and everything early. So that's really, I mean, that's like 97. And that's when like, you know, I started getting all the spoilers. But back to Dude Love.
Sure.
Figure is great. Logo on the shirt's amazing. He's got the tie-dye mandible claw. He's got the tattoo that actually looks good.
Yeah.
Like, when you put him next to the other Dude Love figures, whether it's the classic Superstars or the Slammers from Jax or whatever, it's pretty clear. And this is the best Dude Love that's ever been done.
Yeah, I would agree.
But the controversy that's come up is the logo on the shirt. Dude Love, of course, wore the tie-dye shirt.
Mm-hmm.
I remember the shirt that you have him designed in. You don't have him designed in the shirt that was like, that's like the WWE shop shirt. And you didn't just do a random tie-dye shirt. You have him designed in the type of tie-dye that he wore for a certain era. And I was like, okay, that looks great. But it wasn't until it was brought to my attention on that Major Brothers podcast that the sort of tie-dye type design, it does stop. And then it becomes just a solid blue, which does leave you going, Oh, I could see where somebody would mistake this for a tribal design. So why, Bill, why does the tie-dye stop on the figure? Because that's what, I'm not going to say tribal. I'm not going to go that far. But I will ask you, why does the tie-dye stop?
I thought we were friends, Sam.
I have to know. The people want to know. I wouldn't be doing my job.
Those shirts are very hard to deco on to begin with.
Yeah.
You know, and just the way they sit in the rig, it's very hard to print, you know, in that area.
Right.
It's not impossible, but it's difficult, and sometimes you don't get the exact registration that you'd want. So what? So doing like an all-over tie-dye pattern to look good is difficult to begin with. And also, you know, I'm designing these for, you know, a lot of these I'm designing to make good stuff for myself, but I'm also designing for a company. You know, I can't just, you know, unlimited budget on each figure. And getting, you know, the tie-dye pattern requires a lot of tampoids to get. So it's not just like, you know, here's red splotches and here's green splotches and that's tie-dye. Like if you look at that tie-dye pattern on the shirt, and I do call it tie-dye because I think it represents tie-dye, even though I think it represents the way tie-dye actually looks on tie-dye shirts better than any other.
I'm going to tell you, but we are friends, and I will tell you, I prefer your Dude Love tie-dye shirt to Kurgan's shirt. I prefer your shirt. I know other podcasters have said Kurgan's shirt's better. It's not.
No, it's like, no, the Kurgan shirt is just a dyed shirt with like color clouds. It's
like
not
nobody.
A
it's no. There's no tie.
No. There's no. I mean, tie dye has a pattern. Like if you look at, like, especially in California where I live now, it's like tie dye is like big out there, and there's like an actual pattern to it.
So you're letting these major brothers know that they don't even know what they're talking about when it comes to tie dye. They're from Long Island.
Yeah.
What do a couple of jamokes from Long Island know about tie dye?
A Kurgan. Sample
right
as a sample of tie dye or a Dude Love figure with just random little
splotches
of paint,
right?
You know, that are on the side of the shirt because it's molded in a solid plastic, which you can do the deco on, as opposed to a softer shirt that moves with the figure to get you full range of movement, which includes the trimming on the bottom of the shirt, which was never available in any other Dude Love figure before.
Right. You did that, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I mean, there are...
And they don't appreciate that.
With everything, it's like, but there's a compromise you have to make on stuff like that. It's like this, if we do the you know, if we do a softer shirt and not just mold a solid torso, if I did a solid torso, it's a harder plastic. It's much easier to fit that in the machine rig to tamper all over.
When you saw it, did you go like, yeah, this is great? Or did it occur to you, oh, I wonder if any like real nerds are going to point out that this isn't quite tie-dye?
The first time I saw it was actually on a regular shirt. And it did look, especially on the sides, it looked like there was like a great barren wasteland of the...
When you say a regular shirt, you mean one of the ones that like you can take on and off?
Yeah.
Like, but a plastic one.
Yeah.
But one of the ones that have like the notches in the side.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was... You know, and it had like a lot of blue area. So when I first saw it, it didn't read correctly to me. But when he put on the correct shirt, which was, you know, sized more properly to fit him, and had the not, you know, the it's scalloped on the side to remove area which was blue before, and it has the cuts in it. Which if you look at any Dude Love shirt, I'm pretty sure, you know, 75% of the time he had the cuts along the bottom.
Right, it was and, fringe, yeah.
Yeah, and they went, you know, they went pretty far up the front of the shirt, so. Mm-hmm.
So you didn't think you'd have to sit here defending this thing. After all that work you put in and all the work you put into to actually getting it released, now it's still... The Dude Love figure is cursed, because even after you get it released, yeah, it still becomes the bane of your existence.
You know, there are certain figures you think, like, this is going to be a breeze, and people are just... it's just like, this is going to mean nothing, and then there's stuff you just, like, you just torture yourself. I was like, I don't know. This one, I'm not sure if this is, you know, maybe, you know, could we have done something better? And then you put it out there like a ringside fest and people just lose their minds over it. It's like, you know, it's like, whew. And then there's other stuff. It's like, oh, yeah, this is great. And then you put it out in front of people and like they get like real weird about it. Like weird in like a protracted, you know, public forum, 10 minutes on a public forum every week, you know, bashing an action figure.
It's unfair. Is the, and can you tell me, is Are we going to see the Wendy Richter figure that we have seen previously at any point? I guess originally it was supposed to be a three-pack. Wasn't that Sherry?
No, who was Sasha the Banks.
Pack? Oh, it was Sasha, and Wendy Richter.
Yeah, the Wendy Richter, I'd like to get it out. It's a lot of it probably will be determined by how well this sensational Sherry does.
Oh, maybe she can be like an exclusive bonus to an Elite line, maybe?
Yeah.
Type of thing?
Yeah, we'll see. Because even Wendy Richter goes even farther back than Sherry. You know, if you started watching, you know, I started watching this stuff in 85, 86, so even Wendy Richter was like even slightly before my time. Mm-hmm. I recognize how important she is, you know, it's going back and watching the WWE Network and like watching like the WrestleMania and the, those early TNT shows. I don't know if you've ever watched those.
Of course, yeah.
Oh, they're
amazing.
Some of that stuff was mind-blowing.
Have you ever wanted to build a TNT set? Like the way you did the Heartbreak Hotel and the SummerSlam set, do you wish that you could do? I mean, it'd be so difficult and it's so niche.
It's so niche.
But like... But it'd be so much fun to have an old school Vince and Lord Alfred Hayes on an old TNT set.
I think if I brought that into a meeting, questions would be worse.
I believe that you're right. Yeah. So kind of speaking along those lines, you know I love like the Isaac Yankem, Shark, Virgil. The Red Rooster is going to be a Target.com figure, we think?
I think so.
Hope so.
I hope so.
Yeah. Is there a little doubt that might not get released?
I'm pretty sure it's going to be released, but I don't think it's going to be exactly when we thought it might have been.
But we'll still eventually get there.
That is the plan.
Do we? That's scary. Do we? Are there any other figures along those lines? Or now that Toys R Us is gone, is it difficult to find a place that will take like these like completely bizarre, weirdo, nobody even liked them to begin with characters?
A lot of things have. Yeah, a lot of things are sort of. Maybe not quite as on solid ground, just because you know when a major retailer goes away and one that has the ability to sort of absorb shelf space for something that maybe is a little bit more specialized or off the beaten path, you know, when you're dealing with like a Target or Walmart specifically, they have very stringent planograms, and they don't deviate from them. And if it doesn't fit the planogram, like in a lot of cases, you know. Target puts stuff on clearance like really quickly,
and you don't want that.
No.
Kind of doing Maddie Collector or Comic-Con exclusives that you sell directly without a retailer. Mm. Is that kind of not something you guys are doing? Because that would be a great place to have like weirdo figures released.
Yeah,
right?
it's a lot of it's just determining how to do that effectively, knowing what your MOQ is, and making sure that if you do something. That you can do it and sell through your MOQ.
There were a couple of people that, because I tweeted out that we were going to do this, and there were a couple of people that reached out with questions. Any chance that we see a return of the Defining Moments line? People love that line, and a lot of those figures go for huge money on like eBay and stuff like that. And Entrance Greats is going away.
Entrance Greats is going away. Ultimates is the next sort of iteration of that.
Oh, right.
And then... Since Survivor Series is in Los Angeles, we are going to have like an unveiling of Ultimates around that time. So that would
there's going to be whatever a year's worth of here's what the Ultimates look like this year type of thing.
Well, it'll be a reveal of what Ultimates is.
Right. One person asks, any thoughts on making a chase of Ludwig Borga with only 9 figures? I mean 9 fingers.
Ludwig Borga is very unlikely to be in the Mattel line.
Yeah, I would imagine.
There's some reason. If you look up, there's reasons why.
You can figure that out.
You'll figure out very quickly.
Are you doing Elite Bellas?
I don't see why we wouldn't at this point now that they're back on the programming.
Yeah, and I mean, it seems like that's a slam dunk. This is a weird one. Any plans on Mattel Retros coming back to Walmart? Target might be a national chain store, but they aren't nearly as abundant as Walmart, blah, blah, blah. I didn't realize that Retros weren't at Walmart.
Yeah,
I thought that they were kind of out there. Like, I thought that the first line was exclusive to Walmart, and then after that, they were just everywhere. Or no?
They're available for every retailer to order. A lot of it is whether the retailer actually orders it or not, to be honest with you. And that's...
So that's just it. Ask Walmart is the answer to that question.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's something where I, you know, once I sort of finish something like this and it's the aesthetics are approved, a lot of what happens next is sort of up to other people in the company, and it's not my, you know, I'm, you know, they don't step on my toes. I don't want to step on their toes.
Do you have a favorite figure that's been made? I think the last time I asked you that, it was Asuka.
The Asuka, that was pretty good. My favorite figure of all time that I've worked on is that Defining Moments Macho.
It's so great.
Yeah, and that answer's probably never going to change, just because I probably told that story, you know, before about, like...
Yeah, I think we talked about it last time, about you meeting Macho Man and stuff. Look up that podcast. It's still out there. The possibility of an Alex Wright figure being made. Das Wunderkind. Not later on. Berlin, I think. Yeah, Das Wunderkind, Alex Wright. I got one over there from official San Francisco toy makers.
With the jacket.
With the jacket molded on, yeah.
Low, not going to lie.
Okay, so low is low. Now, one person's asking about how the talent getting a lump sum for overall of their likeness, but you don't determine what kind of money.
No,
you just make their figures.
No, if someone new shows up on the list of WWE legend talent, it's like, is this something we want to put in the line? And if it's, you know... You go from there.
Are you ever going to make retro females?
Oh, the
in the retro line, the you know, the little.
Yeah, I hope so.
You'd like to see that.
I'd like to see that personally.
All right, I think we got to most of them here, or most of the good ones. Listen, Bill, I appreciate you making the time. I got a question.
Oh.
The ring.
Yes.
I think it's a great display piece, but people were upset about the height of the ropes and the corners and everything. The new SmackDown ring, exactly the same size, right? Are you going to do another one where the ropes come up a little higher? How or why does something like that happen? You know, what do you think of it?
I think if we put out another iteration of that ring, that the ring rope issue will be addressed, because enough has been said about it.
Yeah. Where
I think, you know, it's not, sometimes when stuff, you know, it can be seen as like one, you know, person rambling on about a dude love shirt. But in other situations, enough people say it.
Yeah.
Hear about it.
Now, was that at all discussed, like, when you were putting out the SmackDown ring? Were you guys saying, like, do we have time to do this? Well, we want to get the SmackDown ring right out, blah, blah, blah.
Timing had something to do with it, too.
Yeah.
If, because sometimes you'll find situations where you're not sure if something's going to go forward, and then you know, just through timing and development cycles. And then by the time you get to the point where it's like, yeah, we are putting this back out, and, you know... We can only develop, you know, a new figure for it. So it's like, well,
any more Goldberg figures planned?
Yeah, he's got the entrance grate.
Yeah, but is that it?
I don't think so. It's once we got the rights back to put him in the line, it was one of those where it's like, we're gonna take advantage of this.
And how long do you think it'll be before Jinder gets a non-ring release?
I don't know off the top of my head.
Because you do have to be delicate about, like, why put an exclusive figure if you're not going to make it exclusive to that ring, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And a lot of it is we want to sort of keep the value of the SmackDown ring.
Sure.
If you put out a different Jinder right away, just say because he grows his hair longer, which he's done.
Right.
To match that, it's like, well, if you really want Jinder, you know.
You got to get the ring.
It's the, you know, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense. Well, Bill, I appreciate you hanging and stopping by.
Oh, no worries.
This is...
By the way, I just want to let everyone know that I was found not guilty this morning.
Yes.
On the podcast.
On the Major Brothers wrestling figure.
So after all that...
nonsense.
Yeah, all that nonsense about, you know, Nine-Finger Ludwig Borga and, you know, Dudegate, I think wrote some apologies, actually.
I do, too. And, Bill, you know, you'd be a good witness. I mean, look at what you've designed, right? Clearly, you are an expert when it comes to this stuff. This is all you. You got to walk through my studio here. A good portion of my collection
is on display. Yeah, I've walked through it. I mean, I hear terms like hot garbage thrown around, and it's like...
It's ridiculous.
It's ridiculous. I mean, it's...
What about this? What about Poser has been thrown around?
Yeah, I mean, you can't be a poser if I have a Greedo. I have a Star Wars collection, and I have a Greedo in it, like the original Greedo. And that Greedo the head is glued to the body, and there's a big glop of glue.
Mm-hmm.
And I could go to, you know, Greedo's one of the most common, you know, Star Wars figures from back in the day. You can still, you could probably just find him in a bargain bin now for $5.
Right.
It's 4 years ago, but it's like, you know what? That's the Greedo that I played with as a kid.
That's your Greedo.
That Greedo's been through sandboxes. That right. Greedo's been to schools. That Greedo's been, you know, God, how many of my friends' houses. And you know what? We played with it, and the head fell off, and somehow my dad glued the head back on, and maybe it may have been a little too much with the glue, but you know what?
That happens.
That's my Greedo, yeah.
Right. And then, because you're a collector, not just some guy who buys and sells on eBay. I mean, let's be honest. Zack Ryder is basically a scalper, not a collector. As often as he buys and resells everything, I texted him today.
Yeah, I was gonna say if he had his original collection, but the amount of times he's like, you know, resold and rebought and resold and rebought his collection, it's like think of the real money that's been gone to
them. I mean, yeah, seriously. I texted Zack Ryder today. I was like, look, say what you want about my Ludwig Borger or my Hasbros, but I have a loose mint Onita figure from Japan. You know what he said? I don't know who that is.
Yeah, and this is a man who calls himself the Michael Jordan.
He didn't even know who Onita is.
He didn't know that Boris Zhukov had a figure. He's like, here's characters I've never had a figure. Boris Zhukov. And I almost spit my Diet Coke over my screen at work. I'm like, Boris Zhukov has a figure. I spent significant money to get a Boris Zhukov figure because those last 8 AWA figures, you know, were in limited release and cost a lot of money.
But Mr. Michael Jordan didn't know anything about the AWA line.
But the Michael
line.
Jordan of wrestling action figures, like, oh, I don't deal with Remco. So it's like, you're the Horace Grant at best,
right?
Like Horace Grant's you know, a great player,
right?
And I'm sure he has. I'm sure Zack Ryder has a great collection. To be
great
proud of.
Collection.
But if you're calling yourself the Michael Jordan, it's like you got to be like above and beyond,
right?
Like I wouldn't even. I've got some cool stuff in my collection. I would never call myself the Michael Jordan of action figure or wrestling action figure, because you have to be like so far above everyone else that like you can't touch,
right? Right.
And if you're not dealing with like the Japanese wrestling action figures are amazing.
Amazing. All the New Japan stuff that came out around like 99.
Oh,
yeah.
Like I went to Tokyo for the first time last year, and there's a shop there. Well, I'm not going to say it out here because I don't want people going there now in advance. Going back. But there's a shop there, and I went in there, and there was like a wall of all of like those figures from that era. And there was stuff that I had, and there was stuff that I didn't have, and I was just like staring in awe. It's like, oh my god, a store like this actually exists.
Yeah,
and I went nuts. I left stuff on the table, and it's like I'm going back, and I'm gonna just.
If Zack Ryder went to that store, he'd look at all the figures on display, and he'd be like, "Are these guys wrestlers? I've never heard of any of them."
He'd like, yeah, he's like, he would have no idea who. He'd get excited about the limited edition Cactus Jack that was there,
right?
Because like that's his frame of reference.
He goes on eBay and he buys the vibrating Nitro figures. I mean, this is who we're dealing with. You know what I mean? It is what it is. Bill, thank you for hanging out.
Oh, no worries.
It's always fun, and I mean, everything's just getting better and better. I'll tell you, in Elite 65, this is 65, right?
Mm-hmm.
In Elite 65, I think Rhonda is like. Like, Rhonda, I'm trying to figure out now how to slide it under the table so that you leave without noticing it. Because Rhonda's for sure my favorite figure in this line. She's amazing. The Nia Jax is really good. I think Eric Young might be my second favorite in the line behind Rhonda. I think Rhonda and Eric Young are my two favorites. But because I need an updated Roman Reigns and an updated Rusev, this is going to be another one where I have to get the entire... I'm going to get the whole set. I'm going to get the whole... Elite line.
I'm probably most happy with the Sherry figure because there was...
It's pretty amazing.
There was so many ways this figure could have gone wrong, and just seeing it now with everything the way it is, it's just... Sometimes when you open the box and you're getting a figure and you get like the first samples, you're kind of like have like a trepidation.
Right.
Like I'll be honest, like the this is the second version of the Ronda. The first one that he sent me, the hair color was wrong.
Oh, really?
And it was like, oh, that's... You know, we can't show that, so it's like we got to hurry up and get this fixed for the show. And like, as I was saying before, like they broke ass to get the figures ready for the show.
So. Yeah, and the two Aiden Englishes with the hand and everything.
Yeah.
I just, you guys are doing yourselves. How long do you know how long the Mattel WWE deal is right at the moment?
Off the top of your head? I know it's at least through 2020 because I'm working on stuff for 2020 already.
So wow.
Let's hope, you know, keep going for foreseeable future.
Are there any When you say you're working for stuff for 2020, is it just figures or are there more rings, play sets, things like that coming out?
Yeah, it's we're working everything. On everything. Yeah, it's like trying to figure out like what haven't we done that maybe we could put in the line, like what have you know people responded to of some of our newer initiatives more strongly than others, you know, what have we seen working for other people that maybe we could, you know.
Are you going to do another
any new technologies we can take advantage of?
Yeah, clearly it's working. Yeah. Any more Build-A-Figures?
I don't think there's anything planned right now.
Are there any weird figures coming out that like somebody like me would be like, oh my God, I can't believe they're doing it?
I think there are some stuff that's coming out that will be sort of surprising.
Good.
I don't know if it's right now just because of the whole Toys R Us situation. Like
you don't know if they'll actually...
Yeah, like yeah. The Shark and the Red Rooster were planned for Toys R Us.
Right.
They moved to Target just because, you know, Toys R Us...
There ain't no Toys R Us.
Yeah, that's lots changed since like we last talked. Like Toys R Us is gone. I've been to a magical toy store in Japan.
And... Yeah, it's amazing. Well, we'll do this again. Thank you, my friend.
And I have wrestling merch. I have my
Make You Bill have Sweat. Your own Make Bill Sweat t-shirt.
Yeah,
is there anything? Can you plug that? Is there any place where people can get it?
I think it's still on Amazon.
Okay, well, yeah. get yourself a Make Bill Sweat shirt. What do you think of the decision to do Howard Finkel body, Luke Gallows head for the Bill McKenna figure?
I think they could have done better.
Okay, me too. Thank you very much, man, and I'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening. Follow at Not Sam on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube.
Rate, review, and subscribe. This has been Not Sam Wrestling.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE system.